This episode of DLC is brought to you by Alienware. So I've got a question for all the gamers out there. Are you seriously going to miss out on Alienware's biggest gaming sale of the year? I mean, these are Black Friday prices we're talking about, so it's not just another sale. I took a look, and this is some pretty big bang for your buck. You know, it's Alienware with some of the most advanced engineering out there, with systems at the top of reviewers' lists. And what about a gift for yourself? Gift yourself a new Alienware 16 Area 51 gaming laptop. I mean, this thing's got performance at the absolute next level with Intel Core Ultra processors. And even better, you can get it during Black Friday. Plus, you can save on all kinds of displays and accessories, like the Alienware 27 4K QD OLED gaming monitor for ultimate visual fidelity. These are incredible deals on PCs with otherworldly performance. So I'd visit Alienware.com/deals soon and grab what you can before their biggest sale of the year goes dark.
It's the summer of games on DLC. You're gonna get hyped up and the news won't live up to your expectations.
Or maybe it will. Hey, welcome, folks, to what is usually the paid DLC program. This week we're gonna use it as a special occasion. It's the summer of games, and we had so much to cover that we couldn't fit it into the main DLC show this week, so we're spilling over into the paid DLC program, which we do usually every Wednesday, but it's Tuesday this week because yesterday we had the Ubisoft Connect, we had the Capcom Showcase, and so we're going to talk about that stuff, and we're going to put it out to all of you, ladies and gentlemen. This show is usually reserved for our Cool Ranch patrons at patreon.com/DLCpod. And we are grateful to our patrons for letting us make this bonus show, the paid DLC program. But because it's such a big week, because it's such a so much going on, we wanted to get this out to all the subscribers of DLC. So welcome, folks. Hopefully some of you will be so excited by the fact that we have Christian Spicer here. Hi, Christian.
Hello, Jeff.
And Lana Bashinsky. Hi, Lana.
Hello, I'm on the main show light. I'm excited.
Main
to be
show
here.
Light. That's a good way of putting it.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Let's not put this out on the main show.
Oh, good.
I don't want Lana. Like, we need to keep this chemistry secret. We can't let this spill out. You know,
secret
like,
chemistry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as I was saying, hopefully folks will find it so much fun that they will be inspired to perhaps cruise on over to patreon.com/DLCpod and sign up. For this show, it's fun. People love it. It's the Wednesday. It's usually wild and wacky and goes off the rails. We're going to try to keep it on the rails this week because we have a mission. We need to cover more of the summer of games, the not E3, as we're calling it. And it's
called a note.
A note?
Yeah. Note 3 is what you would call it.
That was definitely sense. Worth stopping me to say.
Well, people have now gone to patreon.com/DLCpod and they're like, wait, is that the typical
chemistry? Wow, it's mind blowing. This chemistry.
Is that the type of stuff I can usually expect on this Wednesday show, recorded on Tuesday? Yes.
Yes. And yes. And yes. Well, it's that plus farts. Anyway. Yeah, well, we'll leave that for you to discover on your own. Let's get into it. Let's talk about, Lana, I'm excited you're here. Christian and I have been talking about the Xbox conference. We talked about the PC game show a little bit. We talked about the other one. What was the other one?
It was Summer Games Fest.
Summer Games Fest, right. Of course. We talked about all that stuff. I don't know if you had any. I just want to get your quick reaction about Starfield. How was Starfield for you?
Oh, it I'll see it eventually, and I will definitely look. It was a very busy weekend, everything happened. And I was out of the house, and I was like, okay, at least I have enough time that I'm going to do the one we're chatting about, and then I'll catch up on the rest through the week.
Oh, this chemistry is—we're just knocking this chemistry out of the park, you guys.
You gotta warn me; I'm a busy woman.
I know. That's pressed you on Ubisoft and Capcom, and I'm like, hey, what about Xbox and Bethesda? And you're like,
Jeff, I also did want to get your opinion on the Heat 2 novel.
Mm. Yes. Fair.
I know you do DLC book club, so I just wanted to get your thoughts on
just
the
real,
Heat 2
real
book.
Quick, did you check out that second
like,
Heat
novel? While we're here, can we just bring around boomerangs? Can we talk about that?
Let's do another half an hour on boomerangs.
I'll be honest. I listened to that show, and when I read the description, you know, it always lists the description, and it says, like, boomerangs, and I was just like, I'm off the Wednesday show for 1 week, and Jeff and Lana forgot we already had this conversation. I was like, did they organically have this?
Here's the thing. When you talk about boomerangs, it comes back around, baby. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that Danish was just chomping at the bit to be like, oh, okay. I am bringing up boomerangs.
Bringing up boomerangs. You know? You got to slang the ring. Anyway, let's talk about Ubisoft Forward. We can march through it. There's not tons of stuff here, but I thought they showed a lot of a little, if you get my drift. I thought we got a lot of gameplay of games that we hadn't seen almost at all, which is pretty exciting. And, you know, I think overall it's pretty wonderful how this summer season, you know, we got to figure out Summer of Games, I guess, is as good a way of talking about it as anything. But what used to be the E3 season, the main part of the middle of the year where all the video game companies kind of show you what's going on, get you excited about the next round of releases that are coming over the next, you know, 6 to 18 months. And I think this year, more than I remember, has been gameplay.
Yes.
I think we only had one game that was just CG, and unfortunately that was the Assassin's Creed Nexus VR game. But
no, that was gameplay. You play as that dude in his room with the headset on.
Well, I wish I
you
wish
play
there was
the video
show. What was that, Lana?
I said you play the video.
I was
commenting on that while I was watching it, where, you know, something would spin up and I'd be like, okay, cinematic trailer, here we go, and then immediately they'd be like, pretty cool, but let's take a look real.
Yeah.
They had, like, every presenter be like, and now here's the second clip of the things you actually want to see, and the partnering of, like, here's the hype, get excited for it and see what it actually looks like. I was like, kudos, big kudos. I don't think I've ever seen that consistency of, it was like very much cake and eat it too for the whole time.
I agree. And it was across multiple companies. I think it was really exciting to see this is kind of where marketing has come. I think we've joked in the past over previous years on this show about how there's this accepted cadence for how you unveil things. First, there's the title. You know, you have the title card reveal. Then you have the CG trailer that gives you the tone of the game. Then you have the in-engine cutscene. And then finally it's gameplay right before the game comes out. And it feels like that's being broken. We didn't know anything about Star Wars Outlaws other than we knew Massive was working on a Star Wars game. But we didn't have any of those previous steps, and right away, hey, this is the game, this is the title, this is the gameplay, and we get 10 minutes of gameplay. I think that's phenomenal, but we'll get to that. It started off with Just Dance 2024, probably not a lot to talk about there, other than they made it very prominent that it's going to be an Olympic sport. That's cool.
Is it really? No, it's not.
Yes, they're doing the digital, they're doing the, like, e-sport Olympic games.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's happening. And I think Just Dance is going to be part of it. And they had, like, a little logo that said official selection Olympic sport. So we're going to see people have an Olympic dance off, which, you know, I've been lobbying for years.
Yeah, DDR developers out there are like, oh,
we missed our window.
Ahead of our time.
Exactly. And then we went right into a game that I'm very excited about called Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. We had seen a little bit about this game in previous years and seen a big delay. I think it was supposed to come out with or before the second Avatar film, Way of Water. But I think now it's benefiting from the fact that it didn't come out at the same time or before, because Everybody was all cynical about Avatar for years and years and years. Oh, nobody cares about that franchise. And then, of course, the second movie comes out and makes $2 billion. So now it's like, oh, well, maybe we should pay attention to this franchise, which I'm excited about. And I think first time we've noticed that this game is going to be in first person. The first time they've revealed that, which I have to say, little disappointed by because same. I prefer third person. But yeah, Lambo, tell me what you thought seeing the gameplay footage. Because I thought they showed quite a lot of what the game is going to be like, all the different kind of weapons, and contextually they kind of showed story of who you're going to be playing as and how they fit into the Avatar tapestry. Even had a little James Cameron in there to give it the thumbs up.
I need to talk about the thing that was the most shocking part to me about the whole conference. Is he goes by Jim Cameron? What the heck? He introduced himself as Jim Cameron. I'm like, that's not Jim.
Just to his friends.
Jim Cameron?
Yeah.
What? And then I was like, oh, James Cameron. I'm like, why does everybody call him James? He clearly said his name's Jim. It was like the strangest moment for me. Anyway, that was wacky. But the one thing that really struck me, well, there's two things. What the first thing is that I can't believe how much, not that the movie franchises aren't appealing, but how much more distinctly appealing and distinctly like, I'll forgive whatever. Does the Avatar IP feel as a video game? It feels so much more appealing to me as a video game than it does as a movie. And I like the movies.
Well, why do you think that is?
Because I think the mechanics of a video game, you're like, sure, there's like a gaminess that my brain is just like, that's fine. And how many different ecosystems they have to explore. Whereas in the movie, it's like quite drawn out and like some things they're like really rushed by. It's like, okay, great. He's like, you know, Taruk Mokhtel. He's the guy. Everybody follows him. The idea of going through and exploring all those places and like learning more about them from the character perspective, I also really wish it were third person, not first person. But it just is. The mechanics are so obvious. Looking back, it like feels like a video game. Like the fact that it's like, oh, you come from two lives, so you can use the human weapons or you can use the native
Na'vi
weapons,
yeah,
the Na'vi weapons. It's like, it feel like the mechanics have such a clear hooks, and especially because like Avatar has been around for so long that it just feels very satisfying to see how it all kind of plugs into the video game experience. And I find that incredibly, incredibly appealing. Cool flying stuff. Like, it's just, I cannot wait for millions of people to love Avatar now, Jeff, and you can be the Avatar king of liked it forever. I feel everybody apologizing to you.
Oh, I've already been reveling in that. In that, I told you so's. All those I told you so's. Yeah. For literally a decade of my life, people being like, "Wow, no one cares about a sequel," and me going, "Just wait," and then it comes out and makes $2 billion. That was very satisfying for me. Anyway, I do think it's weird. Maybe you can get some insight into this, Lana, as a developer yourself. I do not understand if you have a game where you're going to be getting on various mounts, be they flying or galloping, and when you do, it needs to go into third person mode to make any sense at all. Why not just be in third person mode all the time, right? I don't understand this.
Because Far Cry, like I think you have to go back and think about where the developers are most comfortable with. And I think it's easier to stretch into being like, okay, for these mechanics, we'll try this. But versus like going back and not drawing directly on, I mean, I guess Ubisoft makes a bunch of third person games as well. But like Far Cry, I'm like, yeah, Far Cry Primal, Pandora's skin.
I think that's fair. Although I will say Far Cry, you almost always stay in first person, even when you get into a vehicle. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Christian, what was your take on seeing Frontiers of Pandora in so much detail?
I want to back up a little bit just to the conference itself, something we did for Microsoft and Summer Games Fest. I think Ubisoft showed a lot of games that I am very interested in playing, but I found the conference itself highlighted the difficult nature of doing a live press conference, and I don't think it did them any favors. I think a pre-recorded probably would have been better for them every presenter walked out and tried to find their mark. then like would there were clearly like prompts like now I walk to stage right and they walked over, found their mark. There were awkward shots of like presenter talking with screen in the background and they're looking in a weird place and like, why not just show me the footage while this person talks over it? So as a presentation, I found it very awkward and stilted. And I think these people are doing their best, but they're also not professional hosts or actors or, you know, entertainers. They are incredible developers who are then asked to trot out and talk about their games.
Cut back to Phil Spencer.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Just cut back to Phil Spencer. Does he approve? He's here. He has his thing, but he's at our thing.
Yeah.
Does he look bored? Oh, crap. He looks a little bored. Cut back. Cut away from Phil. Cut away from Phil.
Well, as somebody that has sat in the room for many, many, many Ubisoft press conferences in the summertime, it is a little odd to be like, well, we're not doing that. We're only having this isn't, you know, the me's of the world aren't invited. The press is not invited. This is just VIPs, like a small scaled down Uber VIPs, but they're still in chairs.
UB VIPs, I think it's pronounced.
UB. Well, that is one of the big takeaways for me is that definitive proof that it is pronounced UB. Because we got
a Ubisoft original,
and not an Ubisoft original.
But Phil Spencer pronounced it Ubi. Also,
but he's wrong.
Eves has put out a statement. I think this was a couple of years ago, and it was however you want.
Well, if you're gonna have a an A or an N, you've decided Ubisoft or Ubisoft. No,
Ubisoft decided.
Anyway, we're getting sidetracked.
This is the strangest thing. We were watching, and Jeff, my husband, also said that. He's like, "There, it says a Ubisoft." Yeah. And I was like, who cares?
The Jeffs care.
And the Geoffs care.
International Association of Jeffs care.
You should have seen the text messages flying, Lana, among the Jeffs.
Oh, so much Jeffery happening.
There was no end there. I saw it. We all saw it.
What was your favorite game from the Ubisoft Direct? There was a game. I just saw the A. It blew my mind.
Here's the thing, guys. They didn't have to do that. You could easily write Ubisoft original and just leave it a mystery. Keep it a mystery. Keep it a however you want.
Or,
but no, they took steps. They took bold steps. They put a single A, not an A. They didn't have to, and they did. Case closed. All right. Good night,
everybody. I would have loved for them to do another Ubisoft original. Kind of like, you know, like musicians come out, here comes another one. It's like, this is your first one. How could it be another one?
Yeah.
You just hit both. Going back to Avatar, I still don't care about Avatar. I'm sorry. I watched the sequel.
You're a bad person.
I found it very mid. Like, it's beautiful.
Don't use that term. Come on.
I did specifically because Lana was here. I thought it was beautiful, the movie. I think what Jim, my friend Jim, does cinematically is unparalleled.
You watched it on like a phone or something, didn't you?
I watched it on my 4K HDR
computer
monitor.
Not
I have
how
no
it's
desire.
To be watched.
I didn't really want to watch it that time. Anyway, I don't care about the franchise. I realize
there's only one way to watch Avatar: Way of Water, and that is
Vision Pro headset.
Exactly, a $3,500 Vision Pro headset that won't be available until early next year. That's the only way it should be watched.
So I don't hate the franchise. I just kind of don't care about it, like one way or the other. Like, I'm not going to seek it out. I'm not chomping at the bit to buy merch for it. I don't want to read tie-in novels. I kind of don't care. As the video game, I found it very interesting that it's weird to see alien creatures rendered in a way that I think puts them in an uncanny valley because like they look so good in the movie. And all I could think was like, do these graphics not look good or do the movie's graphics look so good?
I thought the same, like not exactly that, but I remember watching it being like, wow, they really did a good job making those realistic characters in 3D. And I was like, what, the movie, they're not real characters. They're always 3D characters.
They're already 3D.
I was like, oh, it's such a weird. I mean, it speaks to like the skill of the folks who are making the movies. But I had the same kind of weird experience of being like, oh yeah, that's like that thing that normally looks real, and it looks now like a video game thing.
Yeah, Yeah, the thing that is a digital now looks digital. Wait, brain broke. Brain broken. There was just real quick. I forgot where I read it, Polygon or somewhere, but somewhere had a headline, Jeff, that was something along the lines of the real test, because everybody's looking for the test. The real test of Avatar as a franchise wasn't the sequel.
Oh, of course
it's going
not.
It's going to be the video game.
Let's move those goalposts every single time.
I don't know if they're being moved. I think it's like, how big is this thing? And it might be gangbusters.
Two bill.
You think video games?
Harry Potter, Hogwarts was huge. So I think there's room for things to be huge. It might be huge. And
no one gives that franchise.
I don't think it's the test of the franchise. I think they're trying to find the boundaries of it. Because after the first movie, they're like, okay, but this is for people who wanted to see the magic. But the plot was boring. And they're like, sequel, you have to only care about the plot then. You have to care about this world. And they're like, people were like, I don't care about it. And it still made $2 billion. So I think it's like the test of the franchise. It's not like, is it good? I think it's got some claws in the hearts of people, whether they like it or not. And it's like testing the franchise in the sense of, okay, where is the actual boundary of this thing? And how massive is it?
It's very massive. They're making the game.
I'm very excited about the game. I think it's cool. It's coming out this year. December 7th was the release date, which surprised me. I did not think it would be a 2023 game. I think it's cool that it's coming out a little later than all of the crazy front-loaded September, October stuff. Maybe we'll have a bit of a breath before this game comes out, and hopefully that helps it. I'm sure there's lots of people that are rooting for this game to fail. I don't understand the hate for Avatar, but I'm excited. I'm a little bummed it's first person. Not my favorite way to play things on a 2D flat surface. But I think the game looks gorgeous. That Snowdrop engine they're using for everything is really good, and it looks really really pretty. So I'm excited to play this one. I thought it looked awesome, and the different biomes that they're talking about, and how it's like a different section of Pandora that we haven't even seen in the movies, and all the creatures. It just looks it looks really fun to me.
So one last question for it, and this I guess maybe is for folks listening and their own discourse. For people who see this and they're like, Avatar, bleh. If this were just a new game that didn't have previous film tie-ins, and you just saw what was presented, would this not be like the most hype looking thing?
Yes.
I think it'd be
Far Cry. I don't think it would. I truly don't think it would. Like, again, I think this game might be great. I'm not rooting against it. I used to love Far Cry's. I fell off Far Cry pretty hard. This looks like another Far Cry in a fantasy world. And it happens to be in a fantasy world that I'm not particularly fond of. And I think if it was just a new fantasy world, I'd maybe be interested about like, ooh, what's the fantasy? Like, how are they tying that stuff in? But otherwise, I don't think like new fantasy IPs have been shown a lot of love, unfortunately, recently, people getting excited about new IP either. But I'd love to be wrong. I'd love to be wrong.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand that last sentence about new. I thought there was actually more new IP this year than I've seen in a long time. Especially the Xbox conference had tons of new IP.
I meant games that came out like selling gangbusters with new IP.
Okay. Then we had X Defiant. I don't think we need to talk too much about that. I don't know. Lana, you might be into X Defiant. I know that you're into the competitive multiplayer shooters.
Yeah, I was one of their million closed beta players. It is very fun. I'm very bad at it. Very bad at it. It's like so fast paced.
Yeah.
But like very enjoyable. And so it's fun to watch the trailer because, you know, my really good buddy from university has been working on it for I don't know how long. So I'm mostly like, yay. I wish they showed like more of it and not just like the Twitch streamers and being like, and we're going to have some maps and stuff. Bye. I think it's really fun. I think it's going to be a big game.
Cool.
Just bummed. I'm also one of the millions of players, and I'm bummed they didn't use my cam footage of me going, dead. I'm dead. Revive me. Yeah, dead.
It's shocking that they didn't choose you. Shocking. Then we got a deep dive into Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, which is the new 2D Prince of Persia game. Looks really cool. They highlighted some time manipulation mechanics that are coming to the game, including what looks like the ability to sort of set yourself in one place, keep playing for a second, and then rewind yourself back. They showed that in relation to, you know, tricking boss fights or big enemies to attack you where you're no longer, and then you can zip back to being behind them and slash and hack them. I thought that game looks really, really cool. I mean, it's very much an indie Metroidvania style game, although they didn't use that term. It does seem to, he says, oh, you'll be able to go back to areas and change them with your new time. I'm like, that's a Metroidvania, baby. but it looks very high quality, and it looks like it's going to have lots of cool skills to learn and traversal puzzle-y type stuff. Christian, I know this feels like your jam 100%.
Yeah, this game, again, kind of first revealed at the summer game season, along with Star Wars Outlaw, were the two that made me really perk up. And the deeper dive they did for Prince of Persia only further confirms that I'm super into what they're laying down. I thought the animations looked really cool and interesting. I like the way they highlighted the OOOOG Prince of Persia as kind of an inspiration for this game and what that series is and can be. And I think the combat looks fun. I am down for this game, and I'm also was surprised that it's, you know, early January. So it's, for all intents and purposes, right around the corner. And I think it looks fantastic. I'm stoked. And I hope it helps breathe life back to the franchise. Even if it is, I would love just, you know, Ori-esque or this style of Prince of Persia, more games in that genre or in that 2D plane. I thought it looked great.
Lana, what'd you think?
Definitely stole the show for me.
Oh yeah?
Like watching the trailer, I'm like, oh yeah, like the really beautiful art style of the cinematic trailer. And I was like, yeah, that's very, very pretty. Wow, look at this whole thing. I didn't expect it to be side-scrolly. And so I was like very hype on it. I think it just looks super fun. I loved Ori. I really like this game called Fist that I played last year, I think. And just the idea of like, oh, here's all your combos. You can get to an enemy and just juggle it until it's dead. Like that level of like personal skill of getting up in games like that. Love a Metroidvania. Just everything about it. Very, very appealing to me. I cannot wait to try it.
Yeah. One of the coolest things from my perspective that they brought up in presenting Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown was this notion of creativity in the battles. And I think that time rewind mechanic, at least it appeared the way they presented it, to be used at any time you want. You know, figure out when the most useful way of using it is, rather than oftentimes you see that kind of thing in games to be something that it happens at a very specific moment. And I think that level of creativity of like, oh, you've got all these different tools at your disposal, including, you know, zipping yourself around, manipulating time. I think that is what makes it look really cool to me in the sense of, you know, the improvisational nature of how you're going to tackle any given challenge, instead of it being a, you know, square peg, square hole type, like I got to use this tool at this time. So yeah, I mean, this game looks really awesome, and it'll be coming at a time, I think, you know, when there probably isn't going to be a lot of games coming out, you know, early January. So I think it's probably going to get its time in the sun. So that's cool. Then we got a very awkward presentation of Captain Laserhawk, a Blood Dragon remix, which, I mean, how awkward was Hari Shankar? I think, like, I like that guy. I think he's awesome. I think his the stuff he makes is awesome, but it was a real awkward presentation. I don't know who he was playing to, but it wasn't that audience.
I was like, is this guy used to only talking to, like, his, like, YouTube fans who know him so well and will laugh at anything he does, but also he walks out in what is like supposed to be this like absurd outfit and like get a laugh immediately, but it kind of just looks like streetwear. There's a guy like a little bit later wearing almost the same outfit as his normal outfit, and I'm like, yeah. I was like, yeah, yeah, that's not getting you the laughs you need.
Ridiculous then, cosplay or just French dude? You know, that's the Ubisoft forward question. You know that. I know. I thought it was odd too. He comes out in it, does not comment on it.
He's like,
and then immediately removed, like he like immediately is like, I'm bailing on this bit, you know?
Well, I don't think he could see the prompter with those glasses. That's my guess. It's like there are plastic glasses with lights in them and a prompter, and you're like, oh, this is not working.
I really should have gone to rehearsal.
He was great at Comic-Con too. I think it was probably 3 or 4 years ago. I think it was Castlevania was announced. He was on panel. And yeah, again,
he's awesome.
Previously recorded. You don't need to do this to a live room of Phil Spencer.
I also felt like, you know, he had his like moment where he could have just like ended. And like, I really like the Castlevania show. His previous work seems great. The trailer looks awesome. But he had the out on being like, and then they said no. Just kidding. They said, yes, that's why I'm here. Check it out. But instead it was like, many more minutes of like, I'm like, is the audience like killing themselves laughing? And it's like the mic is so good you can't hear it at all, and that's why it's these slow sentences. Or is he like?
It did seem like he was holding for applause when there was no applause.
It was so challenging to understand what was happening there. But I mean, the trailer looks great. He's a talented guy. Weird presentation.
I'm conflicted on what you keep saying, Christian, because. On that one hand, I totally agree, and it makes sense. And you go, just pre-record it, compose your package, make it as, you know, slick and cool, like be an Apple, you know, make it slick and cool and awesome and flawless beforehand. But also, we're just asking to be more manipulated. We're just asking to be like, there's something raw and real and human about doing it live, trotting the people out, asking them to, I don't know. I'm conflicted.
I think there's something great about bringing people out in front of people who will ask questions and get hands-on time and actually have that conversation. But trotting people out in front of a room full of colleagues, you know, and a few select other VIP to then stumble through a thing that they're not great at. It's like if suddenly it's like, all right, I'm here to promote DLC. I'm so happy to be here. And to be here, I'm going to be throwing 25 footballs to NFL legend Jerry Rice. Everybody be like, why is he doing this? This is bad. I host a video game podcast. Go long, Jerry.
Is that a possibility? Can we make that happen?
I don't know. I am kind of torn because while I'm experiencing it from home, I'm not like in the room. There's no possibility of me interacting with somebody. I see it from like a couple angles. One, the angle of like when I'm just watching the press conference, I'm like, let's go, guy. Next. Yeah. I want to give you the goods. But I don't know. I almost feel like let them have their moment. Maybe they're like, there's this perception like maybe they're like, oh, they're so nervous. They're not good at this. But maybe they like want to. And I'm like, I don't care if you're a terrible presenter. You made this thing. Have it. You want it? Have it. I like that.
Yeah.
Let me have it.
I think that's awesome. My experience is, keep talking in that awesome French accent. Keep. This is some really great ASMR for me. I'm really digging the, we will make the game. You want to go anywhere and to do anything. In our game, you can. I'm like, yeah. Keep talking, buddy. Anyway, sorry. That's just a little window into my psyche. Skull and Bones. We still don't know much about when it will be coming. This has been a turbulent ride, almost like a ship tossed in wild seas, one might say. But it sure had a great song. That song was so good. Anything to say about Skull and Bones?
Odd. This game's coming out real soon. And to show you it, here's a great band singing a song.
I mean, I thought that was an awesome... I mean, it's different, right? We're going to show you this gameplay compilation, and over it, we're going to have live music. I think there's nothing wrong with that. I thought that was cool. It just didn't have the level of detailed stepping through the features that the other games seem to have.
I feel like these conferences just sort of have an identity crisis right now. I'm like, who is it for? I did think this song was awesome. And I actually said like, I can imagine the polished mixed mastered version of this song would rip. Like it would be so powerful. And for people in the room.
As you're playing, your like, sales come up and it,
Like I'm into it. I thought the song was great. I thought the guy was a little pitchy for a little bit there, but it got better. But overall, I'm like, was that experience of like seeing that they had that live band there, was that just for the people in the room? Like, here's your special treat. Was that for me because as like the gamer watching the thing, I'm like, get these guys out of here. Show me what's on the screen. What's behind him? And I don't know where they want me to look or what they want me to care about or what is the experience that they are actually trying to cultivate and for who?
Fair. I think that's fair.
Great points.
I don't know what to make of that game. I don't think I'm excited about it, but it looks interesting, and I literally almost downloaded the song. I had the impulse to download the song because it's a cool song. Then we had the Crew Motor Fest. Christian, as our resident car guy, does the Crew Motor Fest look cool?
I hope so. I don't know. I feel like I need to play it. I think motorsport games are often so dependent on the physics and the handling in the game, and are they doing too much? I think that is kind of a concern I have with a lot of Ubisoft games, is like there's moments of brilliance in it, but also there's literally everything in it. And Crew Motor Fest feels like their Forza Horizon style game, with like all these events and this, you can do this and dive into this, and all that stuff looked incredible, but I don't know how well it will be connected or brought to the player in a way that is maybe satisfying. I think, was it Crew 2, which are still supporting, I think?
That's the previous one, yeah.
Yeah, or the action sport game, where it was like wingsuit, bike, and now they're bringing skateboards to it. It was like everything, and I really loved moments of that game, but the complete package just kind of felt bewildering and a little too much, and something like the mountain biking I didn't think was fun, but going through the progression, you had to spend 30 minutes mountain biking. And so that's where Motorfest kind of lands for me. I think they have the ability to make some very exciting driving moments, but I don't know if they're going to be able to hit the bar where it's set right now with Forza Horizon, Forza Motorsport coming out, GT7 also in PSVR2. Like, I feel like motorsport games right now are at the best they've ever been. So I think it's a high bar to clear. And I don't know if they'll get there with this one until I play it.
This had my favorite presenter. I could listen to him talk for hours. I loved that man's voice. I mean, it's all, Ubisoft is always a smorgasbord of accents, and I love that. Mm-hmm. But this one was my favorite. This guy.
You didn't download the Skull and Bones song, but you did download this presentation.
Go to sleep listening to the Crew Motor Fest presentation. My particular kink. Anyway, we then had, I don't know if Lana, if you want to mention anything about that.
The only thing I was going to say, about your kink or about the game?
Whichever. That's up to you. I'm tossing it to
anyway,
you.
Anyway, we're going to move on. But Lana, before that, talk to me about my ASMR desires. Preferably actually, slowly and quietly, if you could.
Yeah,
could
you whisper it? You can. No, I can't. No, I got immediately. No. The only thing I'd say is I thought this was one of the most particularly successful cinematic versus in-engine footage transition, because they had like this big cinematic pre-rendered thing. And then at the end of his speech, it goes back in and says, but does more cinematic feeling moments, but it's in-engine. It's the same kind of shot, same kind of transitions. And it looks comparable, not like obviously now a potato. And so I thought that was very cool to be like, look, pre-rendered, also not pre-rendered, pretty good.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was very effective as a presentation.
I do like where we've gotten as an industry, where that is always presented to you, like in-engine, actual gameplay, not actual gameplay, things are subject to change. Pre-rendered, I like that the standard now is to inform the viewer of what they're watching. I think that is a wonderful place to be as an industry. I think that is much more honest and much, I think that avoids a lot of the craziness that happens online when people aren't sure about that stuff. However, I will say, as soon as the words pre-rendered cutscene not representative of actual gameplay comes up, I go, well, don't care to watch it then. Why are you showing it to me?
The hype.
It's a tone. It's a vision board. It's aspirational, right? Yeah.
Yep, which is what happened with Assassin's Creed Nexus VR, which is a game I'm excited that is exists, and I'm curious to see what it's actually going to be like. But when you show me the vision board version of it, it doesn't give me any information really. I understand now what you're hoping the game will feel like, but you know, I guess that game's a little farther out still. Although,
which is why I was surprised it was Quest 2. Confirmed. I'm curious how long they'll keep supporting Quest 2 in a Quest 3 world, because they not relatively quickly, but they did abandon Quest 1 not too long into the Quest 2's life cycle, and with these standalone headsets, I am curious how long that'll be the case for Quest 2.
I think it's a great point. Hopefully that with the install base of Quest 2, which is much larger than Quest 1 ever was, I suspect they'll be supporting it more. And it'll be, forward compatible with Quest 3 instead of backward compatible. But we'll see. But there was quite a lengthy Assassin's Creed section. We learned about the mobile game Assassin's Creed Jade, codename Jade, I should say. And then there was a deep dive into Mirage, which is the next big mainline Assassin's Creed game coming out this year in the maelstrom of that October. Within 10 days, there's like four of the biggest games of the year coming out. It's just bonkers. And there's going to be blood in the water. There's going to be the equivalent of our Titanfall 2, the game that just gets swallowed up by the other ones, I predict. Lana, was there an Assassin's Creed that sparked your curiosity, or what did you think of the section of creeds?
I remember when Assassin's Creed Valhalla was announced and I came on DLC and I was like, I think this might be it. This will be the first Assassin's Creed game I play. And here I am saying the same thing about Mirage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I still haven't played one.
But you still haven't played one, but what this one is making you want to?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's it looks very good. I don't know. It looks cool. The mechanic that's like the obvious new mechanic of miraging yourself, like holding over a couple enemies, and then you're like a little ghost of yourself, a mirage, if you will, appears near them, and you can just take out a couple at once that would be like the main folks scouting you. Mwah! Looked beautiful. Looked very, very cool. And then little twists on the previous mechanics, like, oh, I sent my bird up. No, bird got shot at. You don't just get the bird for free anymore. And I was like, ooh, that's fun. And I like any game that you give me the opportunity to sneak past something becomes a stealth game for me. Horizon Forbidden, anything, Horizon Zero, whatever, stealth games to me. Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, stealth game to me. Everything that I can possibly play where I can sneak and not be heard is a stealth game. So the fact that I haven't played any Assassin's Creed really is a crime.
you're sneaking past them. You're just
sneaking past the games themselves. Yes. Whew. I mean, and it does sound, I mean, they have explicitly said that with Mirage, a direct combat is supposed to be a last resort. It's back to the old school OG Assassin's Creed idea of you don't want to just wade into people and fight. That's not the point, which changed, with those games, with Valhalla and with Odyssey, where, it really was your option to just wade in and have fun fighting. But I think this one is going to be much more jump in, kill someone and get out of there and try to use the environment to escape and hide and be.
I do think that's why it is more enticing to me than the previous ones. And so, unlike the last time I made this claim, I really do think that this one is going to be the one that makes me play Assassin's Creed. And I'm looking forward to it.
That's cool. I had the opposite feeling. I was like, whew, phew, one less game.
Why?
One fewer game for me to worry about this fall. Because that's just not – I never enjoyed Assassin's Creed 1 and 2 and 3 and whatever, and Black Flag and all the ones that pre-Origins. Like Origins – Odyssey and Valhalla were the Assassin's Creed franchise for me. And hopefully, we're going to get that game also concurrently. It sounds like they're going to kind of switch back and forth between old school and new school. But Mirage is that old school, recapturing that old school thing that I just never clicked with. I like stealth in games too, but I never enjoyed the feeling of hiding, you know, the basically it's escape and try to hide and all that stuff. It just wasn't very fun for me. So I'm like, oh, well, there's so much coming out in this very short window. At least I have one fewer game to even consider.
That's interesting. I don't know how like the development studios work for Assassin's Creed, but I would assume that they would take sort of some of the key coolest elements from like whatever the last Assassin's Creed game is, and then sort of how do we infuse that into people's expectations and like reinvigorate what was Assassin's Creed 1, 2, 3 era stuff. But I could have that totally wrong. Either way, I'm pumped.
I think there is some of that, though. I think the bird is some of that.
Yeah.
And I think the Mirage kill is some of that. You know, Cassandra could just warp across the world at some point in Odyssey and just kill people in a way that human beings don't move. But it was awesome in a video game. And you're just like, kill, 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 kill. And this feels like it has some of that as well. So I think when they're saying it's not direct, you know, Souls light style combat necessarily anymore, I think they are going to make killing fun. Just perhaps in a different way. And Jeff, my favorite part of this presentation was when they clearly listened to our episodes about boomerangs and water, and they have the moment of jumping into the water. Like, what are you doing? What do you think? 1,000,000-foot cliff in the water. You're okay. I like Mirage. I'm curious if it is the game that unfortunately has to release the statement during the shareholder meeting of did not meet our expectations just because October is so crowded. But I think that they are playing into the history of the franchise in a really smart way. They have the filter that you can put on to make it even look more visually or color palette similar to those OG games. And I think kind of like Avatar is perhaps a test for that franchise. Is there an appetite for a game in that universe? Probably yes. You know, again, Hogwarts, huge. Those movies have fallen off, the newer Beast movies or whatever in the Harry Potter world, but that game is gigantic this year. I imagine Avatar might be the same, but this is a test, I think, for Assassin's Creed. Is there that appetite for back to basics, back to the origins style game, and how strong is that IP? How much are people clamoring for that? And I think this game might test that theory in an interesting way.
Yeah. And then, of course, we had the main event, Star Wars Outlaws, which we had only seen the trailer for at the Xbox event. And we actually get 10 minutes here, 10 minutes of gameplay that highlighted all the various, well, not all, who knows all, but many of the different aspects of what is going to go into this open world Star Wars game. Stealthy stuff where you have your little pet that can go and do cool things, full on run and gun blasty blast moments with big weapons that explode stuff, jumping onto a speeder bike and having this cool speeder bike chase with this wild moment where they slow down time and can kind of chain together attacks, hopping into a spaceship, going up into space, having space combat there, story moments, dialogue stuff. It really, I think, showed a lot of the variety of what's going to be happening here. None of which is, I think, reinventing the wheel, but it's putting the wheel into Star Wars, which is a big deal. I think this is very much, for me, Star Wars Outlaws looked exactly like the game I expected it to be, but that's not a detriment. That's not that's not a knock on the game, because those are the games I really like, and I really like Star Wars, and it looks like a very cool version of it. Gorgeous. It looks like it nails the Star Wars of it all. You know, I've never seen a Admiral Akbar raced creature that's sort of like casual, just person hanging in the bar. That was rad. I'm into Outlaws in a big, big way. I think that game's going to be amazing. Very weird for me that the main character looks exactly like Ashley Esqueda, friend of the show, Ashley Esqueda. I mean, like, literally has her haircut, looks exactly like her.
It also does look like the actor who's portraying the character. It just so happens to be that that actor also looks like Ashley.
I think it's Ashley Esqueda. I think that's... anyway, Lana, what did you think of Outlaws?
Oh, I am so into it. And there's like little flavor hits. Like you said, like the mechanics aren't like, oh, a gun that overheats. Whoa. Like it's a stealth thing with a companion that can do stuff for you. Like there's, it's not new, but it, I mean, Star Wars is just so appealing. I love it. But the specific flavor hits that they added throughout were so appealing to me. Like when you're going to send out your companion, it gives you like a little silhouette of what it's going to do, kind of, where it's like it can distract and it's going to do like this little cat thing. So you can see like little hints of what this action is and what that relationship can look like. And then the, like the clear mechanic of shoot from the hip, like the Western,
yeah,
like one-off, but even the way they first display that, so intentional. She's got obviously the Han Solo vibe. You know, her vest has sleeves, so she's in a jacket. Otherwise, a practically identical outfit. And then the first time she gets seen, it's by a Greedo race alien. And she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then shoots him immediately. And I'm like, you know, that's like a tie-in to like Han shot first. It's like, it's just such a thoughtful little moment to put in there. And then later, I can't tell if it's intentional. Like, I can't help but like look in the background and see like this Twi'lek that's like got the green with the goggles. And I'm like, oh, it looks like Hera. And then as she's coming out of that bar after talking with the Imperial person, she's got a chopper looking robot, but it's not actually Chopper. But like there's little things in the background that are so reminiscent of like pieces of Star Wars that I think those little details make it even more enticing to me than anything else. I love seeing people care so much.
Yeah.
About things that people care so much about.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a golden age of Star Wars games, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's wild to me that what previously were their own games, you know, you get the like X-Wing versus TIE Fighter game inside this game. You know, you get,
oh, Squadrons is just
part of this game. You know, pretty cool. Christian, Outlaws looks like our jam. I mean, it's pretty good.
I echo what both of you said. If I were to raise concerns, it would be my Ubisoft concern of everything in the kitchen sink in a game. Like, how good does the speeder bike chase feel? How good does the space combat feel? Does any of this feel lacking? Even in Grand Theft Auto games, there are certain moments where it's like, oh, yeah, like this clearly isn't a driving game. It's gotten better. And Grand Theft Auto clearly isn't a shooting game. It's gotten better. And I'm curious about Outlaws, like which parts is there so much in here? Do parts of it feel less than? And then if so, does it feel less than enough to detract from the game in any way, shape, or form? Again, Grand Theft Auto 5, I think, had a bunch of pieces that felt less than, but all combined into this massive package. You're like, who cares? I'm at the Comedy Store right now in Los Angeles and it looks how it should look. You know, like there's enough there. And I think Outlaws has a lot of that. I am a little not disappointed is the right word, but when they revealed it during the Xbox and that trailer is like, yeah, and the Empire's out there running amok, I guess. For me, I do this. And I was like, ooh, it's just going to be smugglery or whatever. And then this 10-minute gameplay showed a lot of Empire out there doing stuff. So I'm not sure. I wouldn't at some point, if she picks up a lightsaber, I'm going to be like, it must be in the contract. They had to,
Can I tell you what I'm hoping for here? I think would be cool. I doubt this is the case, but if I was designing this game, I would have this all smugglery game, but you can, in one very remote, very hard to get to place,
check your midichlorian count.
You know, find a lightsaber. You can discover the lightsaber. She doesn't know how to use it exactly. There's no like Jedi stuff, but you can find a lightsaber and wield a lightsaber, but it's like tucked away. It's hidden. We don't talk about it. It's not a main quest line. It's not part of the story.
Every website has, here's where to find the lightsaber.
Well, yeah, steps. Of course they do. Wouldn't that be cool?
I would think this is the only reason I think it would be cool is if you pick it up and then like you immediately accidentally chop a limb off. Like you literally,
just realistic,
you literally can't use it. Like that's not the point. She's not a Jedi. That's a Jedi weapon. If she uses it, you are going to kill yourself.
It's that old Luke thing where he looks right down the barrel and she goes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think this game looks. I think this game looks awesome, and it again is a testament to, I think, what IP can do for a a game and also a genre. Like this is third person, which I find more attractive than first person. This is a universe I want to spend more time in, which I find attractive. I guess my only other concern is what they didn't show in this is they didn't show zoom out and show me the Ubisoft map. And I'm curious if it's going to be too overwhelming of like,
you get a little scared by maps.
Checkpoint, 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 checkpoint.
Christian just gets scared from maps. It's a little scary.
I get scared from... Also, the ya-ya-yas also scare me.
All right. We have left about 5 minutes to talk about Capcom.
That's about right.
That's about right. They did have an hour-long presentation, but not, you know, I would say not a lot of stuff that I'm particularly excited about. I thought it was interesting how they showed Pragmata and were like, we're really sorry. It's delayed. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This is just an apology letter to you. Not coming out in 2023. Indefinitely postponed Pragmata. Showed Mega Man X Dive offline. Okay, we got a Ghost Trick and Phantom Detective. I found a very, very charming man in a funny outfit. Given a, you know, he's like, I'm a detective too. Look at me. I liked that. He gave a very charming description of that game. It's got a demo coming out. We get a new Ace Attorney collection. But I think the meal here, the real reason Capcom even had this event was to show off Dragon's Dogma 2, which, again, another example of a game we haven't heard a lot about, and yet here is detailed gameplay footage, not just cutscenes, not just CGI stuff. Here's the game. Here's how it works. I don't know if either of you have played the original Dragon's Dogma. I reviewed it back in the day. But it's been a long time since there's been a Dragon's Dogma. Lana, did you like what you saw from Dragon's Dogma 2?
I'm kind of, you know, mid. No, I am sort of like neither here nor there. I like watching Jeff get excited about things. He really liked the first one. He's pumped in general to see new things sort of get reinvigorated. And so seeing things through his eyes, cool. Me? I will not play it just because I won't. That's my like, oh, good. Something I don't have to care about.
Yeah. It is funny to me. You know, obviously the pawns, I think they're called, the companions, were a big part of the first game as well. It is funny to me that it's like, it's going to feel like you're playing with other people. But you're not. It's like, well, you know, there are games where you can play with other people. It's not an impossible thing to pull off. It is funny to me. It's like... this game is so fun. You can pretend you have other people to play with.
That sounds like a great game for me. I'd be like, oh, playing a game with my friends. Don't worry about it. Just me and my friends over here. Sorry. Sorry, family. I'm clearly in the middle of a game with all of my friends. I thought this presentation, I thought it was cool the way they highlighted the improvisational nature of combat and kind of bringing that, you know, Zelda-esque style of there's stuff in here that we don't know what you're going to do. Do this to this limb, do that, set this up to that thing and do that to this. And I think that could be very interesting. And I think it could be really rewarding to see that combat play out. Cause I think we're kind of in a world now of it's either action combat game or it's Souls type combat game. And I think Dragon's Dogma 2 seems to be trying to carve out their own niche and also expanding on... I played the first for just very little, probably under 5 hours, but kind of building on that, but also finding their own footing for a third-person action game. And I think that seems exciting.
Yeah, and people who love that first game love that first game. It was a real cult favorite. And I honestly, I remember liking it, but I didn't fall in love with it. I want to go back and watch my review of it from back in the day. Maybe I don't remember what I thought. It's been a long time. It's been a decade, I think, since that game came out. So, you know, I think this looks really cool. I think the game looks cool. And I think it's great how Capcom is showing it and making it a big deal, making the franchise seem like a big deal, because for a long time, they kind of ignored Dragon's Dogma. And a lot of people were clamoring for more, and now they're back and, you know, making a big deal about the franchise. So that's cool. Any other final thoughts about the Summer of Games, folks? I think we saw so much to get excited about. We saw tons of actual games in action, actual gameplay. That is huge. I think that's a great place for the industry to be really showing off what you're going to be doing gives me such a better sense of whether I'm going to like a game or not when I see it in action. And I think that's, it's not just marketing. It's not just, hey, get excited for the tone of this game. It's, look, here's what you'll actually be doing. And I think that's a really encouraging sign overall from all the companies that we saw over the last week and even back a couple of weeks ago with Sony. But I'm curious if either of you have any other takeaways that you want to highlight.
I think I still don't know what Exoprimal is. For Capcom, they showed like story and narrative. It's like, you're this and you're in the past and this doctor's doing this and here's a new mech suit. And I was like, that suit looks sick. And they were like, this T-Rex is made out of goo. Wait, so, okay, that's funny. You're using dinosaurs for fuel, but like dinosaur's blood is, I love it, I'm in. And then it was like, and now you're doing this. And I was like, what the heck is this? Is this part of the game? And they were like, that's the whole game. And I was like, wait, what? Anyway. I think I'm in for Exoprimal, but I still don't quite know what it is. And I also, staying on Capcom before I zoom out a little bit, I was laughing so hard when they had a part of their presentation being about the Capcom ID. I find that so funny. Like, you need a unique Capcom login to play Resident Evil Reverse and to play Street Fighter VI. And some of our other games. So go sign up for your Capcom ID. And it's like, woo, unique login.
Yeah, we're like, yo, you think it's a chore? We're showing you how sick it is to do the chore.
QR code, login available now. That was very funny.
We do have one more thing to show you. It's our login screen, everybody.
Yeah.
I thought this was a great summer season weekend week. I'm very curious where it goes from here. I'm curious what things are next year, 2 years from now. I'm curious if Jeff Keighley kind of continues down this road of basically replacing E3, or if there's a pivot and it becomes something different. Has it kind of become as big as his part of it can be? And then I'm curious if we'll see other publishers try to strike out earlier the way Sony did. I think Sony had a lot of success not being a part of this week. And I'm curious if other publishers will follow suit, but I don't think we'll know that until, you know, probably next April at the earliest, we'll start to get a feel for what folks are doing.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like Lana, other than Outlaws, which I would assume would be the game we are all most excited about from the stuff we've talked about today, but
and
maybe
that
I'm
Capcom
wrong.
ID.
And Capcom ID. Sounds like Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown might be your most anticipated game of this lot, but maybe
yes, definitely, yeah. Definitely. The other two sort of thoughts that I have that I wrote down while I was watching, that were like my overall takeaways. One, for the crew, they named the game studio Ivory Tower Studio or whatever, Ivory Tower Ubisoft. That's just like such a funny title to me. Like, in partnership with Ubisoft High Horse. Just like such a funny name. And then
We're better than you studios.
Your application's been auto-rejected. Studios.com.
So that made me giggle. But the other thing that really struck me, and it's something that I don't think about. I watch these presentations and I'm very much like, ugh. Presenter, okay, yeah, walk me through the cool stuff, but I want to see the cool stuff. But this is my first time in conscious memory, and I guess maybe only where, you know, my personal career focus is in a particular direction, but I was very surprised at how impacted I was in seeing, I think this is the first time in my memory that I recall seeing a woman introduce herself on stage as the game director. Dita Dingfelt showed up and said, hey, I'm Dita Dingfelt. I'm the game director of Avatar, Pandora Game, whatever the name was. And I actually said, wait, she's the game director. And I'm just going to say, there's only twice like in my brain that I can think of a time where something was presented at one of these conferences that I was like, me, and like pointing at myself and pointing at the screen. And the other time was when they had that wonderful curvy Fortnite girl when Fortnite first launched, and then they obliterated her because her hitbox was too large for the competitive scene. But I it was just beautiful. And it always brings me back to representation matters. And even like in the tiny things, being like, okay, there's only 3 presenters on stage for Summer Games Fest, like the show. And even I was like, yeah, it doesn't matter. It's about the games. And in between, I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's about the games. But then I have this moment that is so resonant to me in seeing like, ah, that's what I want to do. And I never see that. And I know you're out there, ladies, women, folks. I know you're out there. I could never predict how much it really sticks to me when it happens. So that was just really sick. Go Dita. I hope your game crushes it.
Can't improve on that comment. That's a great place to end things. Well done. And I think that's beautiful. And here's to more of that as we move forward in this industry. Thank you for being with us, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for supporting the show, patrons at patreon.com/DLCpod. Next week, we'll get back to our regularly scheduled craziness on the paid DLC program.
There's something also next week, but yes.
Oh, that's right. Well, is that going to be on this? I guess it will be. I don't know.
Also, id.capcom.com.
Also, get your new ID.
You go to the airport. Do you have your real ID, sir? No, but I have my Capcom ID.
My favorite release from this entire conference is the audio track from the Crew Motorfest presentation. Which I will be listening to several more times by myself.
It's your parting gift. You're like, it's in my Dropbox folder. It's linked in the...
This is so good. All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody. Take care.